Thank you, young men. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke, please, this morning. If you have a Bible, Luke chapter 24. The basis for our yearly theme is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible commands us to be filled with the Spirit. The title of my sermon this morning is He is the Holy Spirit of Power. He is the Holy Spirit of Power. Last Sunday morning we noted the fact that the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is God. Secondly, we noted the fact the Holy Spirit is a person. He has personality. And last but not least, God, who is personal, chooses to indwell the born-again Christian. And this morning's sermon deals with that power that lies within the person and divinity of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy Spirit of power. In Luke chapter 24, verse number 49, our Lord gave a promise to his disciples. It reads, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry," the word tarry means to wait. "Wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we thank you that you are our strong tower. You are our rock. And Lord, I pray as we assemble this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord God, we ask that you would now fill us with the Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us into truth, and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The Lord Jesus gave his disciples a promise. And that promise was simply this, that you will be endued with power. And the key phrase is, from on high. Wait in Jerusalem, and you will be endued with power from upon high. In the Gospel of John, chapter 16, the Lord Jesus promised a comforter known as the Holy Spirit. And the Lord Jesus said that he will come. With my departure, he will come, and he will abide with you. I'd like for us to move in the book of Acts, please. The book of Acts follows the four Gospels. The Gospels focus upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 11, we find the ascension of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ returning back to the right hand of God the Father. And bearing in mind that within the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus said that a comforter will come. With my departure, I will send another comforter. In reference to the Holy Spirit of God. So it is no surprise that as we read through the book of Acts, we find the presence of the Holy Spirit of God very actively at work within the life of the infant church. And here in Acts chapter 6, I'd like for us to note the life of a man by the name of Stephen. On Wednesday night, I noted some benefits of being filled with the Spirit. There are some main benefits that avail the child of God that is filled with the Spirit. One of those benefits is Christ's likeness, that you will grow into Christ's likeness. Another one of those benefits is that you will walk in victory over the flesh. And there are a number of other main benefits found when the child of God is filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to encourage you to get a copy of that message on Wednesday night, and you'll note the other benefits of being filled with the Spirit. Now, each of these benefits of being filled with the Spirit stem back to a common thread. In each of these benefits, God provides His power. His power, the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples there in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, "Tarry, wait, until you be endued with power from upon high." The power of the Holy Spirit is often referred to as the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The phrase, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is not a biblical phrase as such within its entirety, but it conveys the fact that one that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God has the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And when we are filled with the Spirit of God, God's power is at work. God's power is evident in and through our lives. This is the clear teaching of the Holy Scriptures. And with the ascension of Jesus Christ there in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11, and in that glorification and being seated at the right hand of God the Father, the fullness of time has come for the Holy Spirit of God to come and do His special work of comfort and become that comforter the Lord Jesus promised. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit within the life of the child of God comes the availability and the access to the power of God. And when you study the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit, each one is an expression, an outworking of the power of God. And with our yearly theme, "Be filled with the Spirit," in 2011, we don't just want you to just have and appreciate that command, but understand that this command of God is the key to living a victorious Christian life. It is the key to keep on keeping on. It is the key to having an effective ministry for God's glory. It is the key to having a strong, biblical-based family. It is the key to life, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit of God is not something that should only be discussed and thought of within the context of a man, for example, in the full-time ministry. But it is a principle that should be evident in the life of every blood-bought child of God. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life as a born-again Christian, you have the potential to tap into the power of God and live that victorious and fruitful Christian life. Here in Acts chapter 6, please, I'd like for us to review the life of Stephen. I made some reference to this during the Wednesday night message. So I'd like for us to just take note concerning what did God's power mean to the life of Stephen. And I trust it will whet your appetite just a little bit more, just to thirst and hunger for the power of the Holy Spirit upon your life. Here in Acts chapter 6, verse number 5, in reference to Stephen, it reads, Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I'd like for us to note the word full of is in reference to faith and also to the Holy Ghost. So the scripture could literally read, Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Stephen was a spirit-filled man. And note there in verse number 6, 7 and 8, please, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Note verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now I'd like to draw your attention to the fact that there in verse number 5, with the reference to Stephen, the Bible teaches us that he was full of faith and what? The Holy Ghost. And here in verse number 8, the Bible teaches us that Stephen was full of faith and what? Let's say it again. Power. And the lesson for you and I is simply this. The Holy Spirit equals the power of God. The Holy Spirit equals the power of God. When the Lord Jesus promised his disciples that you will be endued with power from upon high, he was referring to the fact that when the Comforter comes, the Holy Spirit of God abides within you as a blood-bought child of God, you have access to the omnipotence of God, the power of God. And it's by no coincidence that Stephen here, in the book of Acts chapter 6, is referred to as a man that was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And once again, a reference is made to Stephen, and he is referred to as a man full of faith and full of power. That is not a mistake in the Bible. That is just Scripture interpreting Scripture. The greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. I'm not against Bible commentaries. They can be very helpful at times, but the greatest commentator on the Bible is the Bible itself. See? The Bible interprets the Bible. And the reference to the Holy Spirit in verse number 5 in the life of Stephen is referred to as power in verse number 8. And that is the Holy Spirit of God equals the power of God. Let's recap. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. And if you have received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. Romans chapter 8, verses 9 and 11. And if you have not the Spirit of God, then the Bible teaches that you are none of His. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit chooses to indwell the born-again Christian, and with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian comes access to the power of God. And the Bible teaches us that Stephen was full of faith and a man that was also full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. He is the Holy Spirit of power. And God commanding you and I as a Christian to be filled with the Spirit, God is wanting you and I to experience the power of God in our lives and through our lives. He wants us to access that power that belongs to God, that power that is almighty, and that power that will enable us to live out the Christian life and have an effective ministry for His glory. And we see the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit upon the life of Stephen. In chapter 7, pretty much the whole chapter is devoted to the fact that Stephen boldly speaks the word of God and preaches with great boldness. And this has an effect upon the hearers. The Holy Spirit brought the history of the nation of Israel to Stephen's mind. And he eloquently, but yet very concisely, was able to point the whole history of God's people to a common cause, and that is the coming of the Just One, there in verse number 52. Note then verse number 52, please, of chapter 7. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? They have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, in reference to Jesus Christ, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. So the Holy Spirit of God gives Stephen great boldness to preach the Word of God and outline the history of the nation of Israel, and basically points the history of God's people to a main point, and that is the coming of the Just One, Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah. And then Stephen with great boldness said, yes, the very one that you murdered, the very one that you rejected, the very one that you betrayed and crucified on the cross, he is that promised Messiah. And note then verse number 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They knew exactly what Stephen was referring to. They knew exactly what he was trying to communicate. Stephen was conveying that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. The Messiah, the Just One. And not only that, Stephen is clearly teaching that this Messiah is the one that you murdered, that you crucified. And no wonder they got upset in verse number 54. They knew exactly what Stephen was referring to. Stephen was saying, you have rejected the Messiah. You have crucified the Messiah. He boldly taught the Word of God. And my friend, we need God's power to effectively communicate God's Word, do we not? We need the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives so that we can effectively communicate God's Word. Whether it be in a witnessing situation, or whether it be in a teaching format, whether it be to children or teenagers or young adults or one-on-one discipleship, we need the power of God. And the power of God is evident in the life of Stephen, and the power of God in the presence and person and control of the Holy Spirit is available to you and I as a Bible-believing Christian. Why were these people affected by this sermon that Stephen gave? Stephen was not in the full-time ministry, quote-unquote. He was just a faithful servant of God. And yet God used him because he had the power of the Holy Spirit upon his life. And I think so often we are zealous in our desire to communicate the gospel and to teach people the word of God, but if the truth be known, much of our witnessing and much of our teaching is just done in the power of the flesh. We wonder why nobody's infected. We wonder why we witness and people don't get saved. When God's power is present, God will work. God's power not only enabled Stephen to preach with great boldness, but also God's power enabled Stephen to maintain his focus upon the Lord. Note then verse 56, "And behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." With Holy Spirit power, Stephen was able to boldly teach and preach the Word of God. But also with Holy Spirit power, Stephen was able to keep his focus upon the Lord. Amen. How easily we lose our focus and lose sight of the main thing. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible teaches us that we are to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Bible teaches us that we are to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. My friend, there are many distractions in this world. Some are sinful. Some are not sinful, but nevertheless, they're distractions. And Stephen, in the heat of the moment, quote unquote, he maintained his focus upon the Lord. His focus wasn't upon a nation that was rejecting their Messiah and personally hurting a fellow countryman. But he maintained his focus upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I see the heavens open, he said, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. My friend, the Holy Spirit of God, the power of God enables you and I to maintain our focus. We need God's power to stay on track, to stay on that narrow way that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, Jesus said. And my friend, this will be achieved if we keep Christ preeminent. If we are filled with the Spirit of God as Stephen of old, and this will enable us to just maintain our focus. And I find people all the time being distracted, lose their focus. Will you for a moment reflect upon 2010? What type of a year did you have? What was your focus? The Apostle Paul was a man of focus. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith." We need the Holy Spirit of power to keep us on track. We need the Holy Spirit of power to enable us to proclaim God's word boldly. But also note then verse 59 of Acts chapter 7, that Stephen was also in prayer. And as they were stoning Stephen, the Bible teaches us in verse 59, calling upon God. And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And the lesson I'd like for us to note this morning is that we need the power of the Holy Spirit not only to boldly teach and proclaim the Word of God with impact. We need the Holy Spirit of God to maintain our focus and stay upon the narrow path. But also we need the power of the Holy Spirit to pray. Prayer is not easy. Try it sometime. I like to think you have. Easier said than done. And all God's people said, would you agree with me it's far easier to read the Bible than to pray? Why is that? Prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. I think we can rightfully say, and it will not dishonor our Lord, that prayer is the most powerful weapon we have within our possession. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit upon our lives to pray effectively. Why is it that we can't pray? Or we don't pray for very long, or we don't pray with intensity? Could it well be that we are praying in our own strength, but yet the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, the Holy Spirit of God is there to help us and to aid us in prayer? But for most of us, as we go to prayer, we completely ignore the Spirit of God, do we not? As if He doesn't even exist. Now, put yourself in the shoes of the Spirit of God, reverently. How would you feel if you were completely ignored? Knowing that this is part of your mission as a divine comforter, to aid the child of God in prayer, and you were completely ignored. How would you feel? That's how the Holy Spirit feels. And how is it that Stephen, as he was being stoned to death, was in prayer, could pray? May I submit to you, this man was not only full of faith, but he was full of the Holy Ghost. He had the power of God upon his life, and therefore he could pray, but in his prayer we find that he is receptive and accepting concerning God's will for his life. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, why did he make that statement? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Think about it. Could it be that he understood the fact that he was on his way home? I'll accept what you have for me, Lord Jesus. He was able to pray with God's will in mind. So often we pray, but we have our own agenda. Talk to me. We have our own ideals. It's almost like we pray and we're trying to manipulate God, and some of us stoop so low that we actually preach to God in our prayers. We're telling God, this is what you ought to do. That's not Holy Spirit praying. God doesn't honor that. How dare we tell God what to do? How dare we tell God how to work? God is God. God is Lord. And Stephen was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And he prayed as these men were stoning him to death. And he said, God, your will be done. Whatever you want for my life, your will be done. You need the power of God to pray like that. That's why we can't pray for an hour. That's why Wednesday night crowd, it seems to be a bit of a struggle sometimes to get God's people to pray. I'll dismiss everybody in prayer and everybody just talking and fellowshipping. That comes natural. And you know from time to time, dear old pastor's got a bit stroppy and he's kept the mic, which he knows he shouldn't do. He said, come on, let's go to prayer. That's what we're like. It's not natural. It's a supernatural work. I'm not saying all this to hurt anybody, but that's the fact of the matter. Prayer is powerful. It's a spiritual work. Why do we struggle to pray? Because we try to pray in our own strength and we ignore the Holy Spirit. We see Stephen praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's evident by the fact that he was very open and receptive to God's will for his life. And also note then verse number 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord. You might want to underline that word loud, loud voice. He wanted everybody to hear his parting words. This is his parting words. Stephen knew that he was about to enter the very presence of Almighty God. So he cries out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord, I forgive them. Now in vision, Stephen is being stoned to death. Not pebbles. When a person was stoned to death, the individual was placed in the midst, surrounded by people's boulders, rocks, big boulders are taken, stoned to death. That is Bible stoning to death. And in the midst of all that, he looks up. He said, Lord, I forgive them. That's Holy Spirit power. What would you do? What would you have done? I don't know if I'm not sure if I'm that spiritual. And I'm the pastor. Holy Spirit power enables us to respond biblically to life's challenges. To respond spiritually when life does not go our way. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was not one of the apostles. He was just a servant of the Lord. Recognized as a man that was full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. And God uses this man to deliver a once-off sermon that absolutely impacted people's lives. They didn't respond biblically, but they did respond. And Stephen was able to keep his focus upon the Lord. Stephen was able to pray with a receptive spirit concerning God's will for his life. And last but not least, Stephen was able to respond spiritually when he was wrong. He was being stoned to death. For what crime? He wasn't a murderer. He wasn't a thief. He wasn't an extortioner. He wasn't an adulterer. What was his crime? He was just serving the Lord. My friend, there is a difference between religion and Bible Christianity. When a person receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, the Holy Spirit not only performs that salvation act, so to speak, but the Holy Spirit of God comes and He abides within that child of God. And living a religious life is man trying to gain God's approval. But living the life of a Bible Christian is far different. Living the life of a Christian involves you and I receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. And with that salvation comes the sealing, the permanent presence of the Holy Spirit within us. And with the presence of the Holy Spirit living within us, we can live the Christ life in the power of the Spirit. And that's exactly what took place in the life of Stephen. He was able to live the Christ life. He was able to communicate the Word of God with great effect. He was able to keep his focus upon the Lord in the midst of difficulties, quote unquote. He was able to pray with a receptive heart concerning, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. If you want me to come home, I'm ready. And last but not least, Stephen was able to respond in a spiritual manner, even though he was wrong, because he was filled with the Spirit. See, my friend, the Holy Spirit equals power. The power of the Holy Spirit was not exclusively set aside for Stephen, let alone Simon Peter, who preached and 3,000 people were saved there in Acts chapter 2. And then they continued to preach, Peter and John, there in Acts chapter 4, and 5,000 people were saved. And then in Acts chapter 9, where Saul was not long saved, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and straight away the Bible teaches us he went about teaching that Jesus is the Christ. But what about Acts chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul had to deal with a sorcerer, demonic activity, and as a result, a man was saved. My friend, in 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible teaches us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The power of the Holy Spirit was not exclusively for those that live within the pages of the book of Acts. The power of the Holy Spirit is available for you. And God wants you and I to be mindful of the fact that to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God means to have the availability and the application of God's power at work in our lives and through our lives to God's glory. Let me close with John chapter 7, please. Verses 37 to 39. God offers all of his children this bountiful power, the power of the Holy Spirit. It is Christ's ideal of what a Christian should be. And our Lord illustrates this here in John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, that word thirst is a key word, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me," in reference to a Bible Christian, "as the scripture has said, out of his belly, his inner being, from within his life, shall flow a trickle of water." Shall flow a drop of water. Is that what the Bible teaches? shall flow river, a river of living water. Is that what it teaches? No. Shall flow, I'm getting goosebumps, rivers of living water. Now, what was our Lord referring to? Well, look at verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. May I submit to you, the Holy Spirit has been given. Jesus Christ has been glorified in his resurrection. And therefore we have the presence of the Holy Spirit. And therefore you and I as a Christian, from our inner being, if we will submit and yield to the Holy Spirit of God within, from our inner being shall flow rivers, rivers of living water, bountiful supply of God's power, life-giving water. The Spirit of God has no limits to what he can accomplish in your life if you and I have the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. If we would just stop ignoring him, and if we would just acknowledge him and live in harmony with the Word of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, as it was upon the life of Stephen, as it was upon the life of Peter, as it was upon the life of Paul the Apostle, and countless other great servants of God, the power of the Holy Spirit can rest upon your life and my life. The Holy Spirit equals the power of God. How do we access this power? Be filled with the Spirit. We need to remove that plug, or those plugs that are hindering the Holy Spirit's power being a reality in our lives. What's hindering the Spirit of God in your life? What's hindering the full manifestation of his power at work in and through your life? Next week, if the Lord wills, and I'm still here, I'd like us to note some practical steps on how we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not going to get awfully practical, I'm going to get wonderfully practical. And God's power is available for you. Christian, will you please stop living the Christian life in the flesh? Please? That's the cry of the Holy Spirit within you. The Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is personal. The Holy Spirit indwells the child of God. And the Holy Spirit wants to manifest his power in and through your life. Stephen was not in full-time ministry. He was just a servant of God. But God used him mightily, did he not? And we need the Spirit of God to work in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit. Let's stand, please. Thank you.